Well, I'm really very, very glad to be here with you this morning. Do you understand me? Good. And I don't know where to start, because honestly, we've had a wonderful life serving the Lord. And you young people, that is my dream for you, that you'll hand your young lives over to the Lord and let Him use you whatever way He chooses, and you'll really enjoy it. Even if you come through some hardships, He comes through it with you. And you know, I was just telling folk last night, some of the real hardships that we came through, we didn't even know we were coming through, because God was there. And I really mean it, friends. We didn't know. We didn't realize that we were just near death, but God redeemed us. Well, for me, I was born into a Christian home, and for that I'm really glad. I really am glad when I realized I was born into a Christian home. You know, I was a midwife and in the Royal Victoria Hospital up there in Belfast, and we babies used to be born to these poor girls that never were married, and then they didn't want the babies, and we had to hold the babies there until they were adopted or somebody wanted them. And I thought, what a way to start life. And so I really thank the Lord for being born into a Christian home where Mommy and Daddy talked all the time about the Lord. But then it didn't last too long, because the Lord took my daddy when I was 3 years of age. And they say I was spoiled, so I'm really sorry that he didn't live to spoil me more. But anyway, then Mommy died when I was about 7 years of age. And then we were taken and reared by a godly aunt and uncle who were very strict. Oh, dear, dear. I was going to say worse than the brethren, but there must be brethren people here. Really very, very strict. And you had to obey orders. And I'm glad of that too, because it really puts you in the right position in life. And we were sent to school and so on. But I remember I really loved school. I really did, and I really wanted to learn. And when I'd finished that school, I was sent home with papers to go on to university. And my aunt said, "You go to university? Never. You'll go out and work for your money. We need the money, and we need you to earn money." So I was sent out to work in a mill, and I thank the Lord for that, because in that mill I had the joy of leading many of the mill girls to the Lord after I was saved. But of course, when I went there first, I wasn't saved, and I used to I loved singing, and I used to dance around with the old broom of the lady who swept the floors, and I would dance as my partner, dance around with this old broom to all the music. It was music while you work in those days, and I was having a real time. And you remember the old hymns, oh Johnny, how you can love, and all this, carry on. And I would dance around with this. I love singing, I love music. And then I was asked to, would I come and sing with this dance band? And so I did. I was around there, and boy, we were having terrific times with this dance band, and I thought, boy, if this is my life, this is great. And the latest hit then was, so you'll know how long ago that was, the latest hit then was, "When I Grow Too Old to Dream, I'll Have You to Remember." Come on, you with the grey hair, can you remember it? What? Nobody remembers that? Even with grey hair? So I really am ancient. You know it? Oh, good. He's about the same age. Anyway, I was having a really terrific time, but my aunt didn't know anything about it, and I had to slip out until there was posters going up all over the place that of this big dance concert, and Alma Arthur was the vocalist, and she came home. She said, "What's this that's on these notices outside? What are you doing? Where are you going?" So I said, "Well, like, you know, it's only, you know how you make excuses, don't you, you young people? Do you ever make excuses?" And I made excuses, but it's nothing, it's really, "You're not going, you're staying in the home." So that was the end of the dance band. And anyway, when I was out in Africa, I wondered how that dance band leader felt when I didn't turn up for that. I wrote and told him. But didn't he phone me out to Africa when I was there in my first term? That was years later. He said, "Alma, I found the Lord, and I'm now in training to be a missionary." Isn't that terrific? So I prayed for him. I really honestly prayed for him that God would help him and change his life. So I was really thrilled at that the Lord did that for me. And then I joined the choir in the church where I was. And I felt that God was calling me to be a missionary to you. Oh, I must tell you where I was saved, yeah. Amen? Yeah. I went to hear this couple. They're an elderly couple. A lovely couple in a big tent. I love tent missions. Do you like tent missions? I love them. Missions in a tent. And I went along to hear this couple. And of course the preacher was really Scottish, you know. Really very, very Scottish. And his wife was a beautiful singer. Really a beautiful singer. And he said, "Now my wife is going to sing for you." And I thought, "Oh, this is great." I wasn't yet saved, and I was used to criticize everybody that didn't sing right and all, you know. So, boy, she started to sing, "We shall meet our loved ones there and eternal glory share in the land where the roses never fade." Friends, I was only 15, and I sat there with some of the girls and work. I worked in a mill, sent out to work in a mill, and some of the mill girls came with me who were saved, and they invited me along. It wasn't long until the tears were rolling down my cheeks. I thought of my mommy and my daddy who had gone there, and the way in which I was walking would never lead me there. So Mr. Sykes got up, her husband, afterwards. She had a beautiful voice, a very appealing voice. Mr. Sykes said, "Well, perhaps you have loved ones in that land, friends, and the road on which you're traveling will never lead you there." He said, you need to take Jesus. And I thought, yeah, I need to take Jesus, but I'm afraid. I'm scared because I didn't have very much confidence to tell my aunt anything. You know how you would tell your mother a lot of things, but I didn't have that with my aunt. And I was afraid of doing things wrong. But the conviction came so hot. And this wee Scottish minister, you know, he said, "You know, are you Presbyterian? Are you Methodist? Are you Baptist?" And he started going on like this, and I said, "What's he going to say about Presbyterian?" Because I was a good one. And anyway, he started talking about the different religions and different churches. But he said, "There's one thing about it. They all point you to the one who can save you." So then he made an appeal. And I was scared. And at last I had the courage to raise my hand. Friends, you don't know what that means to me. That made all the difference for me, from darkness to light. And I ran out to the front, to the back of that wee tent mission, and threw myself down at the first chair I could find. And I'm glad I knew what to say. My mother, before God took her, told us what to do. And she said, "Children, when I leave you, I want to meet you in heaven." Promised me. There were seven of us. promised me that you'll meet me in heaven. And of course, we all raised our hands and we hugged her and said, Mommy, we'll meet you in heaven. And I had four brothers and two sisters as well as myself, and my brothers were in the army, and they were wild drunkards and gamblers and chain smokers, some of them, and just absolutely wild, living by themselves. You can guess how wild they were and far from God. But you know, today they're all in heaven. They all trusted the Lord, and I'm the only one left of the seven, and I'm looking forward to going up there to meet them all and Mommy and Daddy. What a day that will be, eh? But when I went back, I just cried out, oh God, save me. I want to be saved. I want to be yours tonight, Lord. Save me. It was like a cloud lifted from me. I thought, oh, isn't this wonderful? I'm saved now. I'm God's child. Oh, I was really thrilled. And when I went out, I don't remember, you would hardly know, but back in Britain, during the war, and there were blackouts. And everything outside was black. All the lights were out. And you used to bump into a lamppost and say, excuse me, because you could see nothing. And I walked along, and I was so taken up with God's salvation anyway, and the joy in my life. I bumped into these lampposts. Oh, excuse me, sir. And then I looked up, and it was a huge, big thing, but that's how it was. And I walked up there, and then I caught up with my pals from the mill. I said, hey, this is terrific. I've just trusted the Lord. Oh, it's really great. I don't know what to do, Lord. I want the Lord to take my life, and I want him to use it whatever way he wants. And I was just all bubbly over, and I started singing around at conventions and conferences, and it made all the difference, singing hymns and seeing people saved. And anyway, there was some fellow stood. I joined the choir in our church, and this fellow was always at the door of the choir, you know, the choir door, and he would stand there against the wall, and he would say, "Could I have your wee rose?" And I would look at him like this. Know the way you do. Then he would stand same place every Sunday. Could I have your wee rose? I pretended, fancy you talking to me. Who was I? Anyway, this went on for about 4 or 5 Sundays. Then I said to him, what do you want anyway? He said, well, I really want you, but if I got you, I'd have your wee rose too. So anyway, he took me, and I said, well, what age are you? Fancy saying that, you know, because I wanted a big, strong man. He was big anyway, you know, but he says, well, I'm 14. I says, well, you see, I'm 15, so I'm too old for you. He says, come on, and don't be stupid. And that's the way he's treated me ever since. Come on. Didn't have to do what I'm told. And but that's 60 years ago. And we've had a tremendous life. Oh, friends. Absolutely tremendous life together. And then I went to the Bangor Convention, where I heard that Miss Emma Munn from Spanish Guinea was speaking. And she was a mill girl. And I thought, well, I want to go along and hear what she did and how the Lord called her. And because, I mean, what could I do for the Lord? I'm only a mill girl. And I have no education. But, you know, I forgot to tell you, the night that I was saved, going up the Shankill Road that night, a voice spoke to me from heaven. Alma, I want you as a missionary in Africa. I couldn't see anybody. It was the blackout. And I was alone. I thought, who's that? I said, Lord, is that you? Alma, I want you as a missionary in Africa. The voice came the second time. I said, but Lord, look at me. I have nothing. I was very poorly dressed, friends. We were poor. The rain used to get in my shoes. And I said, Lord, look at me. Who am I anyway? What could you do with me? But anyway, Lord, here I am. Whatever you want to do with me, here I am. And so I went to hear my mum from Spanish Guinea. And she told the big audience about how God had called her as a little girl as well. I thought, oh, that's great. And so I said, Lord, I want to be a missionary. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, I was with him that night. We went together, didn't we? At the Bangor Convention. And when she spoke, she said, I wonder, is there a mill girl here will stand for Jesus for Africa? Huh? Friends, I was nobody. I was nothing, and I had nothing. But God wanted me. And he wants you today, no matter who you are, no matter what you are. He wants you, young people. He has a job for you to do. And he'll teach you. He'll direct you in the way he wants. And I said, Lord, here I am. Just take me and make me what you want me to be. Oh, friends, he did. Hallelujah. He did. And I went up to Emma Munn afterwards and I said to her, Miss Munn, God has called me tonight to Africa through your call. And she said, what's your name, love? I said, Alma. She said, Alma, just one thing I want you to do. Go through with God. Let nothing stop you. Let no one stop you. Go through with God. And I remember I was speaking at this young people's meeting. And this girl afterwards, she said, Mrs. McAllister, the tears running down her cheeks. God has called me to Africa through your word tonight. She's a lovely girl. I took her hand. I said, Ruby, just one thing I want you to know, love. I'm telling you the way I was told the night I said God had called me to Africa. The missionary told me the same thing, and I'm telling it to you. Ruby, go through with God. She said yes. And we prayed together, both in tears. And then we separated. I went back to Africa. I never saw Ruby again until she wrote to me and she said, Alma, I'm on my way to Africa. She had done her nursing and her midwifery, and she was on her way as a nurse to Africa. Boy, did we hug each other at the airport. She was coming down the airport, down the, what do you call the gangplank from the airport? The gangplank, you call it? What do you call it? And she was coming down, she had a Bible in one hand and Songs of Victory in the other. And how she tried to get down there, I don't know, but she had these all bundled up here and holding on. She got down and we hugged each other and cried, and then she was sent away up to her station. I was sent away down again to my station. And we separated, but we were going to meet again to go on a bit of a holiday. I was going to let her see a bit of the Mombasa and whatnot. So we had plans to do that. But the plans didn't work out because the trouble started. And I'll be telling all about the trouble tonight. The trouble started there in Congo, so they took Ruby out, the rebels. She was in the theater helping the doctor. And they were actually operating on one of the rebels when other rebels came in, shot the rebel on the table, took our doctor out. Oh, that doctor, he was some doctor. He worked in the British Army. And a fella came in with his brains half hanging out. 7 operations, and he made that fella okay. He was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. They didn't realize who they had, but they took him out, hacked him to death with bush knives, and they come in to get our other friend Ruby, but she had gone out another door, thank God. And then when her husband didn't come home, the doctor's wife came out with her 3 little children, 2 wee girls and a wee boy who was a spastic. And she said to some of the people, "Where's my husband?" And said, "There he is over there. Just a mass of blood and parts of his body." And she said, "What did you do with my husband?" So they shot her dead. And the 3 wee children, "Oh, Mom and Daddy, what? So they just shot them all. The whole family wiped out. I tell you, friends, those were drastic days. But you know, for Ruby, as I told you, she came down to see what was happening too. And I told you, Ruby had made it her vow to go through with God. And she came down when she saw the doctor, and they shot her. And they went up and wrecked her home, stole everything out of the house. You know, just a few years back, about 3 years back, we went back on a visit to Africa again. We went back after the rebellion we were back 41 years in the jungle and delivering babies. But we retired and came home. Then we went back again with money to help them build a children's home. And they said, "Mama, you must be sorry that your friend was killed." I said, "Of course I was." I said, "I loved her and she loved me. We were just bosom pals in the work. And she had led many of the women to the Lord. And she had delivered many of them. She was a great girl." They said, "But her house is up there. Do you want to go up and see it again?" I said, "Yeah." We went up in the jungle. It was just a wee mud house. And it was pulled down, banged about, thrown about everywhere. But one wall was standing. And on that wall was her text: "Go through with God." Huh? Friends, that's how serious God is. That's the message He wants you to get this morning. Young people, go through with God. It may cost you. But do you think Ruby's regretting that now? Not at all. She's singing with the saints in heaven. She's been crowned in glory. She's looking at the face of Jesus. All her troubles are over. But that's the message I leave with you. Emma Munn left it with me, and I'll tell you this evening what we went through. That God brought us through. But God saw fit to take Ruby to be with Himself. And when her father at home heard that, he dropped dead. His lovely daughter, gone. Friend, we'll never understand it until one day God will reveal it all. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face the one who saved me by his grace. He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Our friend, there's not a hallelujah amongst you. Huh? Come on, let it ring. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, that's dead. Come on. Again. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. What a day that will be. Oh, glory to God. And it's coming.
Hallelujah.
And I tell you, friends, it could come sooner than we think. Look at the mess we're in. Do you not think it's the last of the last days? The clouds are going to burst. I'm longing for it, waiting for it. And I'll see all my wee Africans up there who loved and trusted the Lord. May the Lord bless you. I could go on, you know, but I know I'll get told off, so better stop there. Thank you.